chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I'm thrilled to have Fernanda Souza Gilbertson on the show today. Fernanda is a construction management professional and the president of Essig Pools. Well, Fernanda, it is so good to have you, girl. I'm so excited we were able to make this happen.
Same here. I'm very, very excited. This is actually my first podcast, so I'm so glad that it's with you, Lisa. So, so glad. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun. Well, you and I just met recently at the Garden City Sharehold Summit in Deer Valley, Utah, which if our listeners have not been there, put it on your bucket list. Is it the most gorgeous place, Fernanda?
It's definitely one of the most beautiful places I have ever seen, ever. The nature is breathtaking. The sunrises, sunsets. If you think you've seen it all, if you haven't gone there before, you haven't. So you have to go there if you want to see it all, definitely.
Go there. And we had the pleasure of staying at the Montage, which is the first night when I got there, Fernanda, I don't think I told you this, but I got there really late. And so my person is helping me to my room and I'm thinking, I am never going to find my way back to my room or to the lobby or anything. It's a million square feet.
It's amazing.
So just listeners, put it on your bucket list. But I think you and I had both been invited there. Well, you are actually a Garden City company, and I want to talk about that. Essig Pools is. But I think at the time you had only been in your current role for about 120 days when you and I met. But I also got to meet your beautiful mom, and you and I have already talked about that in a sidebar conversation. I said, you know, Fernanda, you just exude so much joy and so much light, and but the apple doesn't fall far from the tree because your mom does too. And she was just
a beacon of light, 100%. 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I can't wait for our listeners to get to know you. Fernanda is passionate. She's confident. She's filled with so much energy, very intelligent, faith-filled woman. You know, and so I can't wait for our listeners to get to know you. But I know that you grew up in Brazil. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? So you're bilingual. You speak both English and Portuguese. But tell us a little bit about growing up, if you would.
Of course. I am a person that was born in the northeastern part of Brazil, a beautiful tropical country. And I grew up with my mother, as well as cousins, lots of aunts. So very much family oriented, surrounded by really powerful women. I think my family has that that direction, right? All of the women in my family are very faith-based. They're very powerful in their professional lives and in their family lives even. So that was kind of my environment growing up. I grew up in Rio de Janeiro, which is in the southeast of Brazil. So from the moment I was 2 months old until I was 11 years old, which is when I moved to the United States, that's where I grew up in beautiful, sunny, tropical Rio de Janeiro, the girl from Ipanema. So that's the environment where I grew up. My mother was always very involved, both in her professional life. She in Brazil, she was an administrator of a private hospital. So she's overseen, teams of 1,200 people at a time, just the entire hospital in a few different cities as well. So she would jump from one hospital to the other, do the whole thing with crazy shifts and all of that. So that's where my aunts came in and took care of me and really gave me that great, strong foundation. So that was my environment. Always went to Catholic school in Brazil. So lots of nuns, very structural oriented and very family oriented. So that was my environment growing up.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that part that you grew up with all these strong women and aunts, and I didn't know about your mom. That's amazing. Because I know, Fernanda, just from talking to you the little bit that we did at the summit, she's your hero. I mean, she's one of your
Certainly.
heroes, what do you think, that this is interesting because Tom Ziegler was on the podcast recently, and he said a quote that I absolutely love, and I hope I never forget. He said, inheritance is what you leave for someone, but a legacy is what you leave in them.
Wow, that is
Isn't it
so powerful.
beautiful?
That is
So
so powerful.
powerful. Yeah.
So
And so both
powerful.
your mom and your aunts left things in you. What do you think are some of those things, Fernanda, that they put in you at an early age?
I think that from the very, very beginning, they imprinted a sense of personal responsibility. So always being accountable, regardless of who's around or who you think may be around or not. From a very, very early age, I remember my mom saying, "Listen, there might be cameras here, there might be people here, but more importantly than anything else, your conscience will never leave you. And you have to hold yourself accountable before you think about mom's voice in your mind, before you think about anybody else's voice. You have your own voice, and that's your spirit telling you." So I think that from a very, very early age, accountability, personal accountability, excuse me, was very, very big. A sense of independence as well. So because of the fact that my mom was always a working woman, a professional woman, she also, always left me with my tasks. So not just, the regular chores and the homework and this, that, and the other, and being a kid, but more so, how are you going to be a part of this family, and how are you going to contribute so that all of us can enjoy time together when we are together? So from a very early age, I never really understood the concept of chores. It was always, here's what I do within the family, and here's how we as a group move forward. So I think that was a huge thing. More importantly, not more importantly, but part of that too was always to be kind. So kindness, is something that my family as a whole, but more importantly, my mom really instilled within me and really imprinted in me. You never know besides yourself what somebody else may be going through, right? So really seeing, putting, not necessarily putting yourself in somebody else's shoes, but trying to understand that even though you may think you know, you probably have no idea. So just being kind before and really examining situations before acting, those two things were always really, really big. Kindness, thinking before you speak, and that personal accountability, those three were huge.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And I've always said that too. You have no idea what the other person on the other side. So even, a smile, or a kind word or encouraging word, Fernanda, can change the trajectory of that person's day.
Definitely.
It
Definitely,
really can.
if not life, because there's been moments in my life, not just with my family and growing up, where you never know what that, what that word of kindness or that word of to really make you think about things in a true way and not just a superficial manner. So it really, that's something that I really take with me, and I try to use it in my everyday life, especially with my teams, you know, with being around so many people from so many different backgrounds, from so many walks of life. Having that kindness be a huge factor in all of my interaction kind of brings them closer to me, you know. And as a leader, sometimes you kind of, you don't necessarily try to push people away, but, you know, because of the responsibilities that you have, sometimes people may feel a little bit shy to approach you. And I think that kindness really opens up a world of possibility, not just professionally, but in any relationship for that matter, any interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to ask you one other question, because, you know, there may be listeners out there that think, well, I want to be more kind. I want to be a more kind leader. I want to lead with kindness. You know, you and I both, because I did too, I grew up with parents that instilled those values and character traits in me. And I don't always do them perfectly, Fernanda, but they did teach me those things, right? And respect for my fellow man and personal responsibility, the things that we've talked about. But, you know, we may have a listener out there, Fernanda, that is like, no, that hasn't been the way that I've led. Do you believe that you can grow in these things? And that people can change.
Of course. Yes. As human beings, we're always evolving. And when we determine something for ourselves, any goal, right? So let's say that I want to accrue however many thousands of dollars. It's the same thing on our internal perspective and how we exercise our kindness, empathy. So the way that we can grow into that, and the way that I think I practice that in my daily life, is active listening. Number one, how are you listening to the people around you and not just waiting for your turn to speak? Really giving people space to voice their concerns or their issues or their successes, right? Sometimes we are so excited about what we're doing and we're not giving people space in our team to celebrate their growth and their, to really reinforce them positively. So in our teams, I think that active listening is number one. Number two, the empathy, right? That's how you exercise kindness, is, you know, when you show genuine concern, right? You are listening, you show genuine concern, and you give them that open communication platform where they can approach you without fear, both on a professional and on a personal level. I think that's a beautiful thing. And like I was saying, positive reinforcement. When you see that your team is, you know, becoming more open, or that you're exercising that openness with them, positively reinforce them and yourself. You know, I did a good thing today. When you look back at your day, I did a good thing. You know, I'm not really in the habit of, you know, within my meetings, I'm not really in the habit of leaving them a space to talk. Why don't you do that? Why don't you open up a platform, you know, once a week or, you know, once a month and so on, whatever fits your schedule and your team's schedule, to really give them space to speak without retaliation, without any fear. Or, you know, you learn more when you listen and when you teach than when you're actually, you know, on the learning side. So So active listening, I think, again, empathy, open communication, giving people space to be themselves and to speak without fear. That's how I think that as leaders, we can exercise that daily kindness.
Yeah. You know what? We've got so much more to talk about, but I could literally talk to you the whole time on this, because I heard so many words in there. You know, Fernanda, as you were speaking, but I listened, but what I heard over and over, and you said it a couple of different ways, is practice, exercise. You know, you said exercise, and I think that is the way that we grow. It's like make a conscious, focused decision to be disciplined in exercising those things that you want to grow in. And the more you do, the more you exercise, just like a muscle. The muscle gets stronger, right? And it just becomes more of your DNA. So that is, you know, and that gives me hope, because we can all be better. We can all be better tomorrow than we are today, right? So Fernanda, you know, I loved hearing you. You spoke about this, and I think it was when you were at Aqua Buddy, you were like selling, but then you went to your boss and you'd done a few things. I think you were doing customer service and that sort of thing, but you went to your boss and said, "Hey, I think I need to be out in the field." And, you know, I love that about you. And I, you know, you and I have talked about this in a sidebar conversation, but Fernanda means bold and audacious. Your mom named you that, you know, and I'm like, boy, you know, you're very bold and audacious because you went and said, "Hey, I think I need to be out in the field." So tell me about that story. And then I've got lots of other questions for you.
Definitely. At the time, like you were saying, I was about 20 years old and I was working at Aqua Buddy. I worked in the customer service side, did inside sales. And I said, I approached my then boss and I said, you know, I would really enjoy working out, you know, in the field. And one of the reasons why I did that is because I noticed that my counterparts at the time, mostly male, were working in the field. And not only did they earn more because of the scope of work that they were performing, but more so, they really seemed to be happier that, you know, that they were out. And it's a more, it's a very dynamic work environment, right? And that's one of the main things that I really love about construction is how dynamic it is. So I approached my boss and I said, "Listen, I think it would be really wise for us to consider, you know, a move, not necessarily me leaving the company or anything like that, but me being out in the field, I think I can do it. And I think I would learn, not only learn a lot, but I think I could really, really sell these jobs." So, and in other words, I kind of, you know, presented it to him in that way. And like, "Listen, I will be going in the field, whether it's here or somewhere else, but it will be happening." And in other words, you know, it just went out like that. And it turned out to be one of the greatest decisions that I've made. And I think that at the time for Aqua Buddy as well, because not only did that, you know, expand my breadth of knowledge, but it also expanded their sales team. It also expanded their earning potential. So it just seemed like the right thing to do. And I'm so glad that I was bold enough to ask, because since I was doing a great job where I was and they could see that, they more than likely weren't going to invite me out of that position to train somebody else. So I really had to take the reins there, you know, and really decide for myself what I wanted to see happen next and invite them to come along with me or not. And, you know, really decide that for myself. And I think that that's kind of what opened up my world to, major construction and so on. So that's how that happened. And here I am today.
I know. Well, it certainly prepared you and set you up for all kinds of wonderful things after that. But I want to ask you, because, you know, you pretty much you've always been in construction of some sort, like I said, whether it's in swimming pools or whether it's in paving, concrete, you know, different types of construction. But Fernanda, how have you gone on? It's primarily a male dominated field, as is tech. How have you gone on to encourage other women? I mean, do you speak into other women and say, "No, you can do this," and the exciting parts of construction, just like what you've just described to me? How have you done that with other women?
100%. So yes, I am a huge advocate for women in construction. I am a part of a few different organizations that are geared toward women in this industry. So women of asphalt, that's one, and Worldwide Women's Association, that's essentially a professional association for women that are mostly in the construction field. So not only in those associations am I an active member, but more importantly, in the teams that I lead and in my, not just my friend group, but more wherever I have, you know, any reach to other women, I try to not just speak on that, but more so embody that and really try and set an example for the Fernanda of yesterday, right? Because I am today the woman that I set out to be yesterday. So not just a beacon of light for who I want to be in the future and who I was yesterday, but also the women that are around me today. I try to speak, power and life into them, and really try and siphon or discover, right, what their individual capabilities and where their ex I can just try and pick out what their expertise could be, and really just try and direct their talent that way, and kind of, just be a person that they can count on as well.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Fernanda, we've got so much more to talk about because we got to talk about what you're doing today, but we do need to take a quick break and we will be right back with Fernanda on the Something Extra podcast.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with my new friend, Fernanda. She is just incredible. We've been talking about all sorts of wonderful things. I hope our listeners take a lot of value. I love, Fernanda, what you said about, being bold and courageous and going and saying, I think you need to put me in the field. And the point is, you were doing so well as a salesperson. Most likely they were not going to just move you out of that position because you were doing so well. But you did well as they when they moved you out in the field. And then more importantly, you just, you were able to help them grow their revenue by doing that. But also you grew as a person and it was preparing you for everything you're doing today, which is, you were installed as the Essig Pools president, I think, about 150 days ago now. So tell me a little bit about Essig. Essig was founded in 1981. Tell me what's special about Essig Pools?
Well, exactly as you said, we were established in 1981 and in South Florida, as I'm thinking with lots of other parts of the country, contractors, especially outdoor contractors, are, a little fickle, they disappear and so on. So just the withstanding the test of time is a testament in itself. And what we've done since it was founded, Essig Pools has been really just a beacon in the industry for that number one quality, right? So within Essig Pools, we have what's called a smart pool. So we build not only to code, but above code. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've withstood the test of time, not just, great customer service practices, but also construction practices that are unlike others in the industry. So we've won multiple awards for both design and construction. We have, we're active members in a within our community here in South Florida, and I think that being present and really being visible and really being a brand that is not just reliant upon legacy, but more so what we're doing today as well, I think that's what really sets Essig Pools apart. We're a luxury brand, and we uphold that standard independently of what the scenario is, whether it's the construction practices, whether it's the customer service, the sales, or the aftercare. So that's something that we're really, really big on.
Yeah, I love this. I hope our listeners will go and look at your website. I mean, these are beautiful, beautiful pools. Very, very distinctive, I would say, is what I would say. Very elegant. Here is something that I read that you wrote. Essig prides itself on patience, meticulous attention to detail, the relentless pursuit of perfection. And this is something that you wrote that I love. Fernanda, you said, it's not just about building a pool. It is about crafting an experience, a sanctuary, and a lifetime of memories.
Exactly. So in our backyards, and in our homes, we have events, right? Whether it's growing our family, whether it's inviting people in to our family, friends, whoever. And I am such a people person, right? Which means that being around people and really building that life story goes along with what is happening inside of our homes and how we construct our homes. Not just that, but outdoor spaces are pretty much invitations for gatherings, right? So whenever I see a family that comes into our showroom and they're getting ready to purchase a pool, they're not purchasing the pool, they're purchasing a lifetime of memories right then and there. They're purchasing the possibility of having their kids' birthday parties there, or having their Christmas family gathering there, or, you know, inviting their friends for whichever type of event. So these events throughout our lives, that these chapters, let's say it that way, these chapters in our lives, whether they are growing, whether they are moving, changing, evolving, we want to be a part of that. And Essig Pools is that company. We're here to be a part of that, not just again the sale today, but the building process and the aftercare. So that's who we are. We're a part of, somehow we're a part of your family, and that's the mentality of our team here as well.
That is so beautiful. Yes, a lifetime of memories. You guys are part of that, which is just beautiful. Well, a couple of years ago, I guess it is now, Garden City purchased Essig Pools. And for our listeners that don't know about Garden City, go back if you would. Michael Arrieta was on the podcast. Michael is the founding partner, the managing partner for Garden City. And Garden City is just doing things a little bit differently than what you would traditionally see a PE firm do. I mean, when they go in and buy, it's usually a family-owned business that they're going in and purchasing, but they are purchasing it to hold it, not to turn it around for a profit. Now, obviously, profit is important, Fernanda, but what I love about them and how they're doing things differently, they're just as concerned about growing the people and making sure that the employees have an amazing experience, you know, Yeah, it's just a very different way, but I would encourage our listeners to go back. But so a couple years ago, you know, Garden City purchased you guys. And I remember this, and this is so interesting. Michael, and you know him too, he is brilliant. He is. He's a brilliant, brilliant young man. Worked for a lot of tech companies like DocuSign and Wise out in Silicon Valley. Worked for a lot of different companies. Brilliant guy. But I remember, and if I'm remembering this correctly, they had chosen, or they were pretty far down the road with another president.
They were getting
ready. Am I remembering this correctly?
Yes.
Am I remembering this correctly?
Yes. They were ready to make the offer happened? To another person.
Yes. And then I think Michael knew you or talked to you and said, wait a minute, before we do that, we've got to interview Fernanda. And he just, everybody fell in love with you and said, no, Fernanda is the right one to lead us into the future. But I want you to tell me a little bit about your first 100 and it's been 150 days now, but I remember, you know, some of the things that you did. What did you do when you came in? What were some of the, I think you probably went on a listening tour for one thing, you know, you've got high emotional intelligence, but what are some of the things that you did? You know, I know digital presence was really important to you, but tell me some of the other things.
Sure. One of the first few things that really stood out to me, and like you said, I went on a listening tour, right? So too much change too quickly can make everybody a little bit jumpy. So I'm a person that tries to go in and change as little as possible at a time, but for a significant effect. So the first thing that I had to do was really build a team around me and a team that could bring us to the next level for Essig. And what that meant was keeping the key players that, you know, were crucial to the business. And thankfully, I'm proud to say that all of them are still here. But more importantly, I had to add on a sales team that really understood what the ask was. And that's to be great negotiators, go at it with negotiation prowess, I can even say it like that, exceptional communication skills. So I needed a team of sales assassins. I'll be quite clear in how I state that. And the reason for that is because I thought about it this way, you know, looking at Essig, such a legacy, such beautiful product, why are we not the ones kind of like holding this banner and this flag and saying, guys, come and see this. This is great. And what I did is, again, I built a team so that those sales assassins that were very leadership minded. So the sales team that I have today is very growth oriented, both personally and as a team and for ESSIG as well. So they're very, very open to learning new things. So adaptability was huge. Negotiation prowess was a huge thing. Integrity and really being a team player. So what I did is I actually brought two people that were, in my older teams, and they followed me to ESSIG, which I'm very, very grateful for. And it wasn't that I set out to do that, but it just was very, very organic. And I'm very happy to say that, I thank God that they're a part of this team now. But even the newer people that I brought along, two of, those people, they had no experience with swimming pools or construction. But I could really see in them that they had an understanding of what the goal here was. And their mentality was a really good fit for the ESSIG culture and how I like to lead the team, which in turn just gave me and ESSIG things that I didn't even set out to do immediately, which were our sales cycle goals were not only beat, but we set new records with these people that had no idea of what, they swam in pools before. That was the extent of their
Sure.
knowledge.
That's the extent of their knowledge.
And, and with them, it was just incredible to see how fast they took to the procedures that I set in place and the process, right? I'm a big person on process. So I was, from the very beginning with them and with the rest of the team here, it's focus on the process, the results will come. And that's exactly what happened.
Yes.
And it's exactly what we're seeing here at ESSIG, which makes me so, so, so excited. So first things first, build the team, get the right people on the bus, put them in the right seat. Get them to understand what the line of sight is and go hard and don't look back. Don't look back. Keep on going. So that was number one.
Yes.
Number two, our online presence and our branding was something huge for me because it's not just how we do the work, it's how people see us, how they find us. And how we present ourselves, not just within the industry, but within the community. I want to go to the supermarket with my ESSIG shirt on and know that people are looking at us like, hey, I've seen this logo before. I know who they are. I've seen them in my neighborhood. So connecting those little dots in people's brains before they even realize who we are, I think that's a huge, huge part of sales and how as a company, we can grow.
Yeah. I love everything that you just said there, Fernanda, because there is not a company that I know of that doesn't want to
Of
grow,
course.
But you've got to, you can only do so much with your SG&A.
Exactly.
You've got, if you want to grow the bottom line, you have to grow the top line and
Exactly.
you have to make sure that you have the right people. The other thing that you just said that I really love is it is a process. And a lot of people will say to you, oh, the sales, it doesn't work the same way. Well, there are things that have ch channels that are different, maybe than it was 30 years ago, but the process is the same. You just, always say you got to turn over a lot of rocks. You got to don't forget the prospecting piece of this. Don't
Definitely.
forget the qualifying of the leads,
Of
that
course.
sort of thing. So it all works together, but it, obviously you've shown that it works. Well, I want to move into this. And, I told you at the very beginning, I was very impressed with you, just your confidence, your poise, your brilliance, all of those things I could see. And Michael saw them too. I want, and I, not to embarrass you, but here's what a few people have said
Oh
about
my
you.
gosh.
Okay. Oh my goodness. A person who does not settle for the regular
Wow.
always finds a way to improve things. That's good, right? I mean, and it doesn't, I always say it doesn't have to be quantum
Of course.
leaps, right? Fernanda, it can be incremental change, incremental improvement,
Exactly.
not afraid of a challenge, willingness to learn, adapt, delivers beyond expectations, positive attitude, delivers exceptional service and support, top of her game at all times.
Wow. I had no idea you were going to bring this up. Thank you.
Yeah, You're welcome. But these are not my words. These are other people's words. But, you know, I want you to tell me in your own words, what do you believe, you know, have been some of the secrets of your success?
Perseverance, number one. Perseverance, because as you said, you know, just like in sales, everybody is out to sell themselves. Independently of what your role is, you know, you have to be very aware of the product. So knowing myself was a huge part of, you know, not reaching success, but this path to get there. Knowing myself, persistence, perseverance, asking for the audacious ask, that's right there with, I think they're all competing for number one. but if I was to really, you know, streamline it, it's know yourself, know what your standards are, know what you would like to your future self to look back on. You know, it's not about pride. It's not about ego. It's about, if you understand where you want to be, you can set out a path. And once you know where you want to be, nothing can keep you from that. And once you know yourself, you know that you have what it takes or not. You understand what you have to improve upon to get back on the path. So I think that's, those things have been really instrumental in the very least, keeping me on the path to get to where I want to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for you, Fernanda, too, it's about impact and impact with your team. Definitely. You know, I mean, nobody does this alone, mm-hmm. right? I wouldn't want to do it alone. It's not fun to do things mm-hmm. alone, but if you can bring a team and impact other people, I know for you that, you know, you're about an eternal impact too. So I have some rapid fire questions for you. Favorite business book. Do you have a favorite book that, you know, has stood the test of time with you?
Well, there's, there's a few, but I think that it's not really a business book, but there's some Max Lucado books that are a little bit about life that kind of translate into business. You know, so I think that Max Lucado as an author has been really instrumental in just pointing things out, you know, in life period that I've transferred into business.
Yes. I'm trying to think. One of his iconic ones, I think, is Get Out of the Boat. I think that's the title, Get Out of the Boat. I think it is. And it's like, sometimes we just got to get the courage to get out of the boat,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And have the faith to start walking that path mm-hmm. that you talked about. You know, is there, you know, and I know that this is hard and I kind of don't like pinpointing one thing, but best piece of business advice that you've received, or it can be a life advice.
Life advice.
Yes.
Okay. Luck will find you when you're doing the hard work. Luck will find you.
Ooh.
You're only going to be lucky Ooh. If luck finds you working. So if you're not persistently, constantly, daily working, whether it's on the minor things or on the major things, or like you said, the incremental changes, you're never going to get lucky. You're only going to get lucky when you're working on the changes. So I think that's huge, both for business, meaning once, you know, the opportunity comes along, if you're not working parallel to it, you're not going to catch it because it's going to go by real fast. And personally, same thing. Mm-hmm. You have to be working in order for luck to find you.
Yeah, that's good. I had a mentor one time that told me success, and I'm probably not going to get this exactly right, but success is the intersection of preparation and opportunity.
There you go.
You know, the preparation, because to your point, if you're not working, if you're not preparing the opportunity, you won't be ready for the opportunity.
Exactly. The only place where success comes before work is the dictionary. And that's exactly
right.
That's exactly it. It sounds cliche, and those things exist for a reason. You know, those sayings exist for a reason. And I think it's really important for us to focus on those short insights because they can lead us to great realizations. And that's one of those. Success only comes before work in the dictionary. Keep on going. It ain't over yet.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. That is so good. Well, I've got lots more here, but I know we're running out of time. What's your favorite podcast? No, I'm totally teasing.
Of course. course. It's something
I know
extra
you're
with Lisa Nichols.
Something extra. Yeah. Good answer. Good answer. I have to ask you this before we talk about something extra. Fernanda, I know your faith is really important mm-hmm. to you. You know, and we'd even said your mom, you know, the meaning of names, you and I have had a sidebar conversation about the meaning of names, and your name means bold and audacious.
100%.
I absolutely love it. And you've definitely lived up to your namesake. But, you know, tell me a little bit about your faith. How does your faith mm-hmm. play into even work? Because a lot of times people think it's a compartmentalized mm-hmm. thing, right? Oh, well, here's my faith. This is what I do on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And but I know that's not you. How has faith played into how you live mm-hmm. your life and how you work every day?
Faith is a huge, 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 huge part of my life, if not, you know, the number one priority in my mind, in my heart, and in my daily life. And the reason for that is because of, you know, just going back to something I said in the very beginning, you know, what's the voice in my head? It's me, but it's something else, right? Our conscience, or my conscience, I'll speak about me, my conscience. I couldn't do it alone. So I do believe that, you know, there's direction and that there's this, you know, God is the one that's leading my life. And that's, he's the one that's directing, you know, if I place my faith in him, and if I place my faith in doing the right thing, right, that my conscience and that the spirit tells me, because that's, for me, that's what it is, right? It's a connection between my mind, my heart, my spirit. It's all one thing. So I think that my faith has affected me in, at work, on the perseverance, on the looking at life from a different perspective. I think looking at work from a different perspective, kind of distancing yourself from, you know, the minute detail, but more so looking at the bigger picture. And I think that, you know, within my faith, I've learned to do that a lot. Like, there's more to this than what I think, you know, what is God planning here? What mm-hmm. is the purpose? What is the greater purpose besides Fernanda, you know, being at Essig? What is the purpose of me being here? Is it, it's to lead, of course, but how am I to do that? And so my faith really, I wouldn't say only that steers my path, but it's a huge component, and it's something that I can't not, you know, recognize. It's the voice in my head.
Yes.
It's the what I wake up with. It's what I go to sleep with. It's what'll be on my mind on my last breath, and that's the voice, right? It's the faith, and it's what guides me. And I think that if I listen to that voice and if I respect that voice, there can't be something bad that comes from it. There's only success at the end of, you know, really looking and steering your life in that way.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing that. Well, I have to ask you, this is called Something Extra. What do you believe? Is that something extra? We've talked about a lot of something extras today, but what do you believe is that something extra, or one or two that every leader needs?
Definitely the commitment to growth within yourself and within those around you. How can you be an instrument of growth in other people's lives? When you think about somebody approaching you with an issue, or you think about how you can influence your business or others, it has to be toward growth. If you're present anywhere, even within yourself, to deplete any resource, to deplete your mental health, to deplete your emotional health, how is that going to lead to anything good? So personal growth and commitment, again, to the, not just to your own well-being, but the well-being of others, I think is what really distinguishes a great leader. Not just self-service, but service to others. You know, reaching success means nothing if you're there alone. And you said it better than anybody. Doing things alone isn't good. And if your team's not there, what's really the point? If your family's not there, what's the point? It might feel good to know, but who are you going to share it with? So rise and lift others. Rise and lift others, whether it's at work, whether it's on your personal life. You know, leadership is about serving and guiding more than it is about, you know, lifting yourself up. So if you rise, whether it's from an issue or you rise in life financially, professionally, whatever it is, make sure you're bringing somebody with you. Otherwise, it means nothing.
Yeah, beautiful note to end on. Well, thank
Thank
you, my sweet
you. Thank you
friend.
so
It's been
much.
so much fun to spend this time with you,
Same.
and I cannot wait for our listeners to learn from you,
Thank you
Fernanda.
so much for having me on the podcast, and so grateful to be able to meet you and your team, to be able to participate here. Hopefully, whatever I have shared can be used, for good somehow. And I'm more than happy to, answer further questions and be, again, just a point of reference for anybody that has questions about the construction industry, the outdoor construction industry, the pool industry for that matter, or women in construction. I'm a huge advocate for that, as I said. So I am more than happy to answer further questions. And I'm just so grateful for being here. Thank you so much once again, Lisa.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.